tax on medical devices that almost nobody likes.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Friday, the 22nd of March. And you don't often hear about a 79-20 vote in the U.S. Senate on anything. But that is exactly what happened last night as senators voted overwhelmingly to repeal a tax on medical devices that is supposed to help pay for the new health care reform law. Joining us now with the details is Marketplace's Sabri Benishour. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so first of all, tell us about this tax.
So this was a tax on medical devices, a sales tax. It was on MRI machines or dialysis machines, surgical tools. It was going to generate $30 billion over 10 years to help pay for Obamacare. Mm. Now, this was a symbolic vote. Okay, so this tax is actually staying.
Right.
But it does show how unpopular this thing is. I mean, both Republican Orrin Hatch and Democrat Elizabeth Warren are on the same side on this one.
Yeah, well, explain that. Why is there such broad bipartisan support to get rid of this tax?
Well, the medical device industry is complaining that this tax hurts them more than other industries, other medical industries. So part of the idea behind healthcare reform is that healthcare industries like hospitals, drug companies, insurance companies will have to pay or give up revenue in one way or another, but then they will get all these new customers
right.
from all the new people who will get insurance. The medical device industry says that won't work for them. They say most of their customers are already insured or covered by Medicare. And it just so happens that the medical device industry is big in some states like Minnesota, home of Democratic co-sponsor Amy Klobuchar, which helps explain some of the bipartisanship.
But you say this is not this vote doesn't go anywhere for the moment.
Right. It's just symbolic. It's attached to a different bill that'll never make it past the House. But, you know, again, it shows how unpopular this tax is.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishour, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Well, if you're interested in owning a piece of Dell, today is the deadline to put in a bid. The company's founder has a bid to take Dell private, and he's hoping that is the winner, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Michael Dell wants to restructure the company he founded as a teenager. Chris Silva is an analyst with the Altimeter Group.
This is an organization that I think needs to be taken down to the studs and reimagined so that it can remain competitive.
Dell's been its CEO for the last 6 years as computing has moved away from the PCs that made the company famous to smartphones and tablets. Dell is making the case the company he's led needs to move in a new direction, and he's the man to take it there.
It's a tricky situation, right?
Especially as some shareholders complain Dell's bid of $13.65 a share undervalues the company. Jason Noland is an analyst with R.W. Baird. He says he suspects this isn't about money for Michael Dell so much as it's about pride.
Ultimately, we expect to see this deal get done at or above the current offer price with the current players.
Noland says the company has been making progress, getting into servers, storage, and network software. Dell is worth something, he argues. After all, it's created all this buzz. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
This week, some of the nation's biggest oil and gas companies joined forces with environmentalists on the issue of fracking. The two sides came together in Pittsburgh on a new set of safety standards that outside auditors will police. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
You know LEEDS, that stamp of approval for green buildings? Well, LEEDS for drillers and frackers is kind of the idea for the new Pittsburgh area partnership of companies and environmental groups. The Center for Sustainable Shale Development could go by the acronym KIST. And fracking does need some love from a skeptical public. Fred Krupp heads the Environmental Defense Fund.
The risks can be managed, but that doesn't mean they will be managed. It's going to take a big effort by local citizens, by the state regulators, and by the progressive members of industry.
An industrial industry. It's not just fracking, sending water and chemicals down a well. It's pipelines, wastewater pits, trucks, odor.
Well before you get to a fracking location, you're likely to be able to smell it.
Energy consultant Kent Moores.
And it's not because of the gas, because the gas is odorless. You're really going to be smelling diesel. The huge footprint to run all of that equipment is run on diesel fuel, and that diesel regularly leaks.
The group's new standards call for less diesel, as well as safe drilling practices and controlling air pollution and drilling fluids. Four companies so far have signed up, including Chevron. Regional head Bruce Niemeyer hopes the system wins over some nervous Western Pennsylvanians.
Many remember prior industrial activities and have some question in their mind, does this activity take them to a similar place?
That is a bad place. Several pollution lawsuits are underway. Now, it's hard to measure if industry has a community's goodwill. But if it does, Fred Krupp at Environmental Defense Fund says the product of drilling and fracking, natural gas, has upsides.
There are environmental benefits of using gas over coal.
Natural gas spews fewer greenhouse gases. The question is whether third-party certifying will help give industry the public trust to drill and frack long-term. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally to Sugar Hill, Georgia, which has an offer on the table from SugarDaddy.com to change the name of the town to SugarDaddy.com for almost $8 million. Well, the mayor is apparently not crazy about that idea, but he says if the website gives the city $1 million, he'll change his name to Sugar Daddy for 1 year. According to the Buford Patch, he also wants the website to pay for a new statue of a gold digger to represent the city's gold mining past, or should I say present. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.